Chapter 52, a chapter in which the old grandfather has the last word. Today is the 16th day of the third moon, and we woke up sad because good fortune had gone. For who can help being sad if you always have to say goodbye to friends and don't know if you will ever see them again? Big Tiger and I sat on the Kong and cried a bit because we were alone, and you may cry when you're alone. We really didn't want any breakfast, but a servant dressed in blue silk came and led us into the marshal's room. He was sitting there with Wu Hong Wen, and they were waiting for us to drink tea with them and eat fritters and chestnuts and sweet yam roots and other things we didn't know. There were also pigeons' eggs. After that, we went into the town to buy things to take home. We found a candy shop where they make everything you want, quick as lightning, out of sugar syrup, and you look on while they're making it. I ordered a fan for Mother, a pipe for Father, a doll for my little sister, and the three wise apes for the Amma. Big Tiger bought the Yellow Emperor for his grandfather, and the candy maker made them all and said we had made a good choice. There was a big crowd gathered in the bazaar, and there was music. Then a man began to sing. He said first that his song was quite new and had never been heard before, and it was called The Song of the Brave Colonel Cao Cheng. So we listened and heard how to catch criminals and that it can't be done in a melon garden, but in a valley where the rocks fall down and an immense treasure of silver lies hidden in a cave until Cao Cheng found it. And he had got promoted for that and had got a decoration besides for rescuing two helpless little boys. We went away quickly, as we didn't want to cause excitement or get congratulations on being rescued. The main street of Urumqi is like a canal. When the children run across it, they try whether the mud goes only up to their knees or up to their waists. They do it barefoot and pull up their pants. It's a lovely game, but it can only be played in the spring when it's very hot in the daytime. The snow melts in the mountains and the water runs down everywhere and into the main street too, and the horses trample it into mud. In the summer, the street is dry again and the children have to think up another game. In the afternoon, we visited Good Fortune. He had noticed already that the governor's cars are not well kept. The people who have charge of them haven't had as thorough a training as Good Fortune. He's going to call for us early in the morning, and we have to be up before dawn. We know by now that when Good Fortune says tomorrow morning, he really means shortly after midnight. Then we drive for 2 days to the Russian frontier. There's to be a farewell party this evening in the big reception hall near the marshal's room, and all the gentlemen who were at the reception when we arrived are to be there. "Why didn't you go on writing your diary?" asked Christian's father as he sat with the diary open before him on his knees. "Because nothing more happened," said Christian. "We just went on and on, traveling by car and truck and by steamer on the Irtysh, but we were alone all the time because the people talked in Russian and we had no acquaintances." "It's just when nothing is happening that you should write a diary," said his father. "The marshal does that too. Now you've begun, you shouldn't stop at once." So Christian wrote on the last page of his notebook, "Yesterday evening we arrived in Peking. There was a new moon. Father and mother were at the station, and the Amma was there too with my sister in the baby carriage. The Amma hadn't been so frightfully frightened as I had always imagined she was, because General Wu came at once when he conquered Peking, and he told her not to be a bit afraid and that nothing would happen to us. Big Tiger's father and mother came too, and also his grandfather, and all his uncles and aunts and cousins were standing behind the barrier. That was because we had sent a telegram from Muk Den. We were all terribly excited. Mother cried, and so did the Amma. The poodle barked, and people were frightened and asked if he was really a dog. Now he's sleeping on a mat, which has been put under the roof, specially for him, and tomorrow we're going for a walk with him, as we want to find a place to practice stone throwing. I know a place already, under the wall at the Hataman Gate, where the soldiers practice their brass instruments, but they're not there in the afternoon, and we can throw stones then. There are flags out in the streets because we have a new president, but his name isn't Yang Zhenxin. That's a pity, because if it was Yang, we could visit him often, and General Wu Hongwen, too. I have laid out an exhibition on my bookshelf. The silver bars from the Black City are at one side, and the King of the Sunnits' silver eating bowl on the other side, and the dagger of my brother Dampignac lies in the middle on the haddock which he gave to me. I am wearing Thunderbolt's ring on my thumb because Thunderbolt is also a brother of mine, and I hope he's still alive. We're going to buy notepaper tomorrow, and then we'll write a long letter to Bator and Seven Stars. Perhaps I shall also buy a new diary. Big Tiger's grandfather is an old man, and I wish I had a grandfather too, because he patted our heads and said it was a good thing for boys to start being brave and enterprising in their early years. Big Tiger and I think he's right there. This is the end of Big Tiger and Christian by Fritz Muhlenweg. Narrated by Susan Ringler.